It's been a decade since the Great Lakes Compact was signed into law. The historic agreement between the U.S. and Canada puts restrictions on large-scale diversions of water. In the last 10 years, communities like Waukesha and corporations like Foxconn have made bids for exceptions to the contract. Peter Annan is director of the Burke Center for Freshwater Innovation at Northland College. He tells WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz that the compact was originally established because of a number of proposals to tap into the Great Lakes.
Some of them were far-flung, some of them were closer nearby, but sort of the most alarming one there towards the end that really did trigger the compact negotiation was the NOVA proposal from Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario in 1998, which was a plan to put tankers of Lake Superior water put Lake Superior water into tankers and send that water to Asia, trying to create an international market for Lake Superior bottled water. And because of the legal precedent that would send to be able to send Great Lakes water all over the world, that was very alarming to water attorneys in the Great Lakes region, to the governors and provincial premiers here in the Great Lakes. And that led to a multi-year process where they developed the Great Lakes Compact that is a ban on diversions of that sort, with some limited exceptions for communities nearby the edge of the Great Lakes.
So I think it's easy for people living somewhere within the basin to, you know, just their focus is primarily their spot, their key concerns. But you've talked about the importance, you feel the importance of looking at this both nationally and globally.
Yeah, so with 20% of the Earth's fresh surface water, we're going to see water-rich regions of the world, like the North American Great Lakes, continue to come under increased pressure because they are such bountiful water areas on the planet. And it's really important that water bodies like the Great Lakes have water management mechanisms like the Great Lakes Compact, and the North American Great Lakes are in a unique position in that regard because other Great Lakes in Africa and Russia and elsewhere don't have these international global tight protections that the Great Lakes Compact provides here in the United States. But that doesn't mean that there won't be attempts in the future. I do believe that the lakes have never been better protected, but if we get into a big water crisis, in part induced by unsustainable water management practices elsewhere, that's going to come up. And it's not coming up as much as it used to. They're looking at the Mississippi River in these conversations and the Missouri River because they don't have the protective compacts that the Great Lakes have. But they mention it. It comes up. And they say, well, it won't be as easy or it's going to be more difficult because of the Great Lakes Compact, which was exactly the design that the Great Lakes governors are.
So as you collected data and interviews for this update, what surprised or what intriguing elements stand out to you?
Yeah, you know, one of the things was that I, like a lot of observers, wondered if the arrival of the Great Lakes Compact would sort of tamp down the Great Lakes water diversion controversy because it had headed off now this large-scale, long-range water diversion threat. But in fact, if anything, the water diversion controversy is kind of ramped up with these exception clause applications in places like Waukesha and Foxconn. It definitely has not calmed the nerves about Great Lakes water diversion, despite having this amazing piece of legislation adopted. And then the other thing that, you know, we talked about earlier today here is that, you know, we have, for the first time this year, 2018, we had the first legal challenge ever filed in a water diversion case. There was an appeal of Waukesha, but it wasn't a formal, didn't get to the level of a formal, you know, in-court legal appeal. But we're there with Foxconn. We have attorneys being consulted on Pleasant Prairie. It makes one wonder if we haven't sort of segued or if we aren't segueing into a more legal challenge era for the Great Lakes Compact. These could be one-offs or this could be, you know, a future trend. It was anticipated that eventually the compact would be refined, quote unquote, in court. That was mentioned in the first edition of the book, you know, more than a decade ago. And all major pieces of environmental legislation have gone through this, the Endangered Species Act, the Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, et cetera, all been refined through litigation. And that's what we may be seeing the beginnings of here with the Great Lakes Compact.
Peter Annan is director of the Burke Center for Freshwater Innovation at Northland College. He spoke with WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz.